Daniel Wallach joins us, gaming law and sports betting attorney and legal analyst at The Athletic. At Wallach Legal is where you can find him on Twitter. And Daniel, hope you're well. Hope you and your family are doing well with the pandemic ongoing. And you know, this Zion Williamson legal situation's really interesting. It seems like it's been going on for just over a year, but it really seemed to bubble to the surface more publicly nationally this week. Why was that?
Well, it's because for roughly a year, it was a standard breach of contract case. Was this contract enforceable? A week ago, the dynamic of the case changed considerably, and the attention shifted from whether this contract with a marketing agent was enforceable to whether Zion Williamson received money, benefits, or other improper gifts to attend Duke University, and then that got all the headlines. This is sort of like a last-ditch effort, in my opinion, by the marketing agents to create some doubt over whether he was ever eligible to compete at Duke University, because the basis of the lawsuit from Zion Williamson is that this marketing agent improperly entered into a contract with a student athlete without registering with a state law that requires athlete agents to register with the state before they have any contractual dealings, before they even intentionally contact or recruit them or solicit them. They have to be registered. She wasn't. So his theory under this state law is that as a student athlete, he's part of a protected class. So her response to that was to call into question his status as a student athlete, because if he had received money under the table, then he never was eligible and he can't rely on that statute. So it does raise the temperature considerably in this litigation. And the reason it came out a week ago rather than a year ago was because, in my view, the walls started to close in on her legally. There was another lawsuit brought by a business associate of hers that alleges that she promised him a 5% cut of the Zion Williamson contract. But in his lawsuit, he claims that the first meeting with Zion's mother and stepfather occurred in January of 2019, 3 months before he declared for the NBA draft. And if that meeting occurred, then that's an improper contact under the North Carolina statute that protects athlete agents. So once that allegation was made, it became apparent that her only way to succeed in this litigation was to undermine his status as a student athlete.
And so, Daniel, I've read also that there are two additional, filings that have essentially paced the treatment of the whole thing, one in North Carolina, like you mentioned, and one in Florida. And is this kind of – and, you know, because I guess Zion is appealing for one and Gina Ford was appealing for another. Is this kind of venue shopping, I guess, for lack of a better term, common? Like, I remember there was a lot of talk about this kind of thing when Deflategate was happening in the NFL and whether the NFL would file in New York and the Patriots or Tom Brady would file in another state. So it must be relatively common, at least.
Yeah, it's extremely common in the U.S. courts when you have a multi-state relationship, or let's say one state's law is more favorable to one party than the other. Now, in Deflategate, the reason they forum shopped, we call it forum shopping in the U.S., the reason that the National Football League Players Association sought Minnesota was because, and the case ended up in New York, but the players' union wanted Minnesota because there's a judge there who continually had ruled in favor of the players in disputes with the National Football League. So it wasn't favorable law they were chasing. It was just a favorable judge who always ruled in their favor. In the Zion Williamson case, there were two lawsuits. Zion filed suit first in North Carolina, naturally, because that's where Duke University is located. That's where his athletic accomplishments took place. But most importantly, that's where this favorable law exists that protects North Carolina student athletes from predatory agents. So if Gina Ford, the marketing agent, had subjected herself and participated in this North Carolina lawsuit, she definitely faced an uphill battle given the existence of this law. So she filed her own suit in Miami-Dade County Circuit Court in Florida. And she claimed that Florida was the forum of choice because the party's marketing agreement specifies that Florida law shall govern. So on the basis of that choice of law provision and trying to avoid the application of the North Carolina law, she filed suit in a different jurisdiction, mainly to avoid an adverse set of laws in another jurisdiction. So the case proceeded in both forums, and then ultimately the North Carolina suit is the one that's going to proceed because Zion Williamson challenged the lawsuit against him in Miami on the grounds of lack of personal jurisdiction, meaning that the state of Florida has zero nexus or connection to him. And if you're challenging that, it's immediately appealable to the intermediate appellate courts, because if he shouldn't have been sued somewhere, then it's unfair to subject a defendant to the litigation system if he never should have been sued in that forum. So state law allows an immediate appellate right, but when she tried to dismiss the North Carolina action and was denied, there was no appellate remedy available. So I think Zion Williamson won the initial battle of the forums, and now we'll have this lawsuit proceed in the forum where he wants it to be.
Daniel Wallach's with us, legal analyst at The Athletic. And you know, as I'm reading about this and wrapping my head around it, so it seems as though Zion signed a contract with this Gina Ford, and then backed out of it about 6 weeks later, by the sounds of it. But she also seems to have misrepresented herself and made it seem like she was maybe more of a significant agent than she actually is. So usually when I hear somebody violating a contract, that seems pretty ironclad and tough. But is this a special circumstance where maybe Zion has real legal footing to be in the clear here because she misrepresented herself, among other things?
I don't think it's so much the misrepresentation. I don't know if there was a misrepresentation. Certainly, she's not a major player in NBA, you know, athlete circles. She's not a player agent. And to my knowledge, she may only represent one or two other NBA players. So this is a new vertical for her, so to speak, because she had represented Usain Bolt, the track and field star. So she wasn't a major player, and it came as somewhat of a surprise that Gina Ford ended up becoming the marketing agent to probably the biggest marketing force to come out of college since Michael Jordan. I think by conservative estimates, we're looking at least $500 million of off-the-court revenue during his NBA career. I think what makes this contract different than if you or I were to enter into a contract is his status as a student athlete. And there's a special statute on the books in North Carolina and a number of other states that prohibit athlete agents from having any kind of dealings, initiating contact with the student athlete, unless they go through a formal process of registering with the North Carolina Secretary of State. It's a common statute in, I think, 40 out of 50 states. And in North Carolina alone, there are over 200 agents who've gone through that process. It's very routine. It's ministerial. It doesn't cost that much money. It costs very little money. You can do it within a day. She never did. So the success or failure of this lawsuit will rise or fall on two factors. When did that initial meeting occur? Excuse me. Was Zion Williamson a student athlete at the time he signed the contract? Because even though he had declared for the NBA draft under the new NCAA testing the water rules, he had the ability to withdraw his draft declaration at any point prior to May 29th, 2019. And he signed that contract in April of 2019. So he has two potential outs here under the North Carolina statute. And from my vantage point, her only defense is really to negate the January 2019 meeting as having occurred, and I don't think that's going to look likely here, or more reasonably or realistically, she's going to attack his status as an amateur athlete.
So, Daniel, let's just say, you know, in the interim, or you know, in theory, let's say, the courts rule in Gina Ford's favor and that Zion did in fact take money to attend Duke. What happens next? He's already in the NBA, so would it just be a matter of paying a fine or paying his taxes on this money that he supposedly took?
No, the ramifications aren't to Zion Williamson. He's not subject to NCAA rules. He's a professional athlete at this point under a multimillion-dollar contract. Where the ramifications fall here are to Zion, number one, reputationally, because now he becomes the athlete who admitted under oath or who was adjudicated to have accepted money to attend a university. And can you think of any other athletes of his magnitude where that kind of fact was proven in court? And then for Duke and for Coach Mike Krzyzewski, the stakes could be much higher, because if Zion Williamson received improper benefits while he was attending Duke or as an incentive to attend Duke, then every single game that he participated in, he was not an eligible student athlete, which would mean Duke could have to forfeit all of those games and face the prospect of NCAA sanctions. And with Coach K, you know, his actions could potentially come under the microscope. But it's one thing to make an allegation and an answer and to ask a question in a request for admission, and it's another thing entirely to be able to prove it in court. And I don't know how she's going to be able to prove it, because I think her lawyers are relying on public innuendo, rumors, and statements that have been made in other cases outside of the state of North Carolina. So I don't think any of these parties can be brought into North Carolina. Are you going to start issuing subpoenas to assistant coaches in Kansas? They have no obligation to appear in a North Carolina federal court. The discovery will be limited to Zion, his mother, his stepfather, Gina, the new agents, maybe Coach K. So there's a very limited universe of witnesses that will likely be giving testimony in this case. And I don't know how Gina Ford proves that Zion Williamson was paid. And I question whether it's even relevant to the controversy, because while he was at Duke, he was a student athlete when she supposedly contacted him. You can't erase that. Her lawsuit seeks over $200 million in damages based largely on his accomplishments as a student athlete at Duke. This contract would be worth very little if he never entered Duke and was never eligible to play. So she's trying to have it both ways, to increase the value of her litigation and to claim damages based upon his accomplishments at Duke on the one hand, and then trying to erase those accomplishments by declaring or arguing he was never eligible to begin with. And I don't think she can have that both ways. And for that reason, I think the real battleground in this litigation early on will be in discovery, depositions, where the Zion Williamson and Duke and whoever wants to challenge her assertions will ask a judge for a preliminary ruling to limit the scope of discovery so as to not cover the issue of improper incentives or payments to attend Duke, because the focus of the lawsuit was whether the contract entered into a year later was valid under North Carolina law. I don't think it would be within the permissible scope of discovery or relevant to be able to deny Williamson his status as a student athlete. You can't change that. It happened.
Before we let you go, Daniel, a non-Zion-related legal inquiry for me is, so let's say Major League Baseball does come back, but with this really crazy in-depth testing plan that seems like it could be tough to really feasibly pull off, some players aren't comfortable coming back. How likely do you think it is that we might see some legal stuff come out of this if players don't come back and salaries, etc., or do you think that it's going to be pretty ironclad and there won't be much out of it?
Well, I think it remains to be seen. I think looking at the other side of things, if you come back and you accept this risk, and players start to, be diagnosed with COVID-19 and others get infected, and there could be some real serious repercussions from illnesses, deaths. So you're really looking at, no matter which action or inaction is taken, there's a significant amount of legal risk involved of, one, whether these contracts are guaranteed and the players are going to be paid regardless, or if they do participate, can any of the venues, teams, leagues, you can contract away negligence, but can you I don't think you can contract away, as a matter of public policy, gross negligence. And it might be grossly negligent to place these athletes in the crucible of competition against the backdrop of a pandemic that hasn't gone away yet. That's more, that could be viewed by a jury as more than just simple negligence. So these are very precarious times, and I think each of the leagues are going to proceed much more cautiously than the remainder of American states and businesses that seem to be, you know, in a real rush to reopen for the economy. Athletes are in a different position than most other employees and workers in North American life. I don't spit on people. I don't have saliva or blood on anyone else. Athletes are in fierce competition, contact on contact, and in the NBA, you know, their bare arms and necks and part of their backs are exposed, their legs. They are in much closer proximity to other people by virtue of the nature of their jobs. So I think those athletes, despite being among the most, you know, physically fit people in North American life, there's a much greater threat of exposure given the nature of their occupations.
Should be very interesting, and so obviously the Zion thing bears a lot of watching as well over the coming weeks and months. We really appreciate the time and the great insight, as always, Daniel. Again, stay safe down there in South Florida. Be well, and hope to chat again soon.
Looking forward to it, Josh. Thanks for having me on, and thank you, Show.